BITCO is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. BITCO.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. Now, I'm in Bryanston in Johannesburg today for what I think is going to be a very interesting discussion about a new streaming television service that is being launched in South Africa. It's called Kwese Play, and it's being launched by Econet Media, the sister company to Liquid Telecom, the Pan-African telecommunications operator that earlier this year acquired Neotel in a 6.5 billion rand deal. I'm joined by Kwese Play's CEO, Ryan Solovey. Thank you for joining us on Tech Central, Ryan.
Thank you for having me, Duncan.
It's a pleasure. First of all, tell us a bit about yourself. What's your background, Ryan?
So I'm an entrepreneur by heart. I opened the first Liquid Telecom office in South Africa in 2006. Before that, and Liquid Telecom, in fact, was a calling card company. So back in the days when voice over IP was not legalized, we were quite creative in creating solutions for lower cost calling card solutions. So that's kind of where the journey began, and through the relationship with Liquid back in those days, we evolved the business, and it's amazing to see where the business is today. My media background has been very much around video on demand services, and in late 2013, in fact, was actually the start of this journey, this video on demand, video streaming journey, as you like. And it was then when myself and Liquid partnered up in creating the video streaming product, which started then as a very immature product, which today, as we're going to talk about now, is a very mature product, and very proud that we've got this far in the journey.
Mm. I'm amazed at how rapidly Liquid Telecom Group and the Econet Group more broadly have grown. Of course, controlled by Zimbabwean billionaire Strive Masiyiwa, started in Zimbabwe as a cellular operator. Liquid Telecom then spun out of that as a backbone provider that's built a fiber network right across Eastern Southern Africa.
Yeah, correct. It is a phenomenal story. It's one of Africa's biggest success stories, if you really look at it quite closely. So yeah, I mean, Strive is an amazing a philanthropist and incredibly visionary in Africa. So in the early days, the first business was Econet Wireless Zimbabwe, which was and still is the largest mobile operator in Zimbabwe, when you're doing voice termination and you need to get traffic out of Zimbabwe, it becomes quite prohibitive if you don't own your infrastructure. So we built Liquid Telecom to carry all of that infrastructure or that telephony out of Zimbabwe. And that's how the business really grew. Mm. So from being a small telecoms operator, it's now the largest fiber operator in Africa, 50,000 kilometers of fiber. It's an incredible accomplishment.
And now, of course, a big player in the South African market with the acquisition of Neotel, and now launching Kwese Play in South Africa. Tell us a bit about Kwese Play. I believe it's already well known in a number of markets across Africa, mainly as, and correct me here if I'm wrong, but mainly as a direct-to-home satellite service?
All right, so Econet Media is actually a media company that we've set up, which hosts a lot of different services and products. We've got a DTH offering, mm-hmm. which we launched in early in the year, and that is a traditional satellite TV offering that consumers can buy decoders in stores, and you install a dish and you watch TV. It's a very interesting service. It has some fantastic content on there, and we've done tremendously well in the countries that we've launched this product into. Very much East Africa. We've launched recently in Zimbabwe and Zambia and Ghana, and we'll continue to roll that product out across the continent. The other service is of course Quest Play. And Quest Play is actually launched today. Today is the actual birth of the product. And South Africa is the first country we're going to be launching Quest Play in. So Quest Play is the streaming component, the OTT, if you like, component of the business. And what the product is a Roku device that hosts a tremendous amount of content, including the Quest TV content. So a consumer now has a choice. He can either buy a DTH decoder or a Roku Quest Play device. Mm-hmm. And the Quest Play device obviously gives him Quest Play, but Quest content, but it also gives you Netflix and. So those are the two kind of device-driven products. We've also got a TV Everywhere app, which consumers can download on mobile devices to watch the Quest content on the go. We've just got tremendous partnerships and content on all these offerings that makes it so interesting, and that really is going to make sure that we have, got a compelling product to consumers.
Okay. So what is the name of the DTH service?
It's Quest TV.
Quest TV,
yeah.
Okay. So it's Quest TV and Quest Play.
Quest TV, Quest Play. The app is called Quest App. The sports website is called Quest ESPN. Mm-hmm. And then we'll continue to roll out more Quest branded products and services, I guess.
Okay. So Quest TV is a traditional satellite-based pay TV service where you subscribe and get a bouquet of channels,
yes.
Which you'd watch. Quest Play is a little different to that, I presume, in that it's going to be bundling third-party service providers like YouTube, like Netflix and others onto the box. Are you going to be offering your own content as well on Quest Play?
Yes. So I think, I don't know if I told you, explained myself correctly, but one of the apps or streaming channels, as it were,
right.
Is Quest TV on Quest Play.
I see.
Okay. So you can go onto your Quest Play device, you are presented with a number of different streaming channel icons, mm-hmm. and you would simply click on the Quest icon to get access to the Quest content.
Okay.
So I'll show you a demonstration shortly, mm-hmm. and you'll see exactly how that works.
Okay. Sounds good. So in terms of, there'll obviously be free services like YouTube and others. You'll then subscribe to premium content on those applications as well. So I presume you'd subscribe to the sports service, for example, as a bouquet, would you? And subscribe to movie channels. How what do the bouquets look like?
Yeah. So let's just switch on the box maybe and walk you through it. So,
sure.
So as you see the front user interface, we've got Netflix there, and you've got your Quest offering there. There are 100 different streaming channels on the device at the moment. And we call this our channel store, really. So we do deals with a lot of channel providers, channel operators, content providers, and a lot of them are paid for, a lot of them are free. Mm. At the moment, the offering is 100 channels strong. Netflix is the one paid for service. Mm-hmm. Quest is the other paid for service. And as we go along on this journey, we'll continue to introduce more and more different paid for services. So there is a lot of free content on the platform at the moment. You mentioned YouTube. YouTube is there. YouTube is a great service on TV compared to mobile. So we've also got very close relationships with all of these content providers. It's important to understand that this is our own channel store. Mm. So any content that finds its way onto this channel store needs to meet certain criteria within our content team. So we would have content clearance rights for all this content.
Mm-hmm.
We would also have a very strong marketing relationship with these service providers or content providers, so we are able to market the service in a way that hasn't been done before. You know, everybody knows YouTube, but not many people know what's actually behind YouTube, and that YouTube has actually, in fact, got the world's biggest video music library, which is fantastic in your home. So yeah, the journey will continue. We've also got important to mention, Duncan, is the remote control comes with four buttons, okay? And Quesa is a shortcut button on the remote. Netflix is also a shortcut button. YouTube is, as well as Red Bull.
Okay.
Red Bull is a fantastic service. We've got a very close relationship with Red Bull. Red Bull TV is not very well viewed or known in South Africa at the moment. We think it's a fantastic, high-quality content offering, which, of course, is free as well.
Yeah. So quite a range of content there. If you wanted to add, as a user, you wanted to add some third-party content that's not there, is that possible? Or will Quest AirPlay decide what is going to be visible on the screen?
Yeah, it's our channel store.
Mm-hmm.
So we will decide what content to publish on the platform. Having said that, we're very open to offering content producers the opportunity to publish their content onto this platform.
Mm.
And we think that the next evolution of this product, it will become a very useful and easy place for content providers and producers to publish their content on. So that's where the world is going. A traditional Roku box does offer customers about 5,000 different streaming channels at the moment.
Wow.
So it's a lot of content. So our plan is to extend our catalog and increase that content offering from 100 where we are today to a couple thousand in the near future. And we're very confident that we are able to do that because of our partnership with Roku. I don't know how much you know about Roku, Duncan.
I haven't played with a Roku box before, but I know I understand the concept.
Okay. Well, you're in for a big treat.
I'm sure.
Because we've got one for you to take home with you.
Great. I look forward to playing with it. So let's talk about pricing. The box itself, I believe, retails for around 1,600 Rand and is going to be available through a range of retailers.
Yes. The retail price is 1,599.
Mm-hmm.
We will make the box available through various retail outlets across the continent. Incredible Connection will have stock shortly.
Mm-hmm.
CelluCity will also have stock. They do have stock now. And we are very proud of our relationship also with a wholesaler, Ellie's. They've got great relationships with these retailers. So we've got a very strong retail distribution plan. And we're also doing some deals with ISPs and telcos and mobile operators across the continent as well.
I see on the boxes you have here in your office, Vox Telecom is sponsoring these boxes. So you're going to work with telecommunications operators, and they're going to potentially subsidize this as part of plans that they sell to end users on their fiber networks?
Yes, This device, it does push up data usage.
Mm.
ISPs are looking for products and services that they can bundle with their data offerings. So as you pointed out, Vox, again, very proud to have this relationship with Vox. The first boxes that do go out will be bundled with a Vox data offering. So we're giving consumers the opportunity to take the box home. It's also bundled with a free Netflix promotion, so there is 3 months of Netflix bundled into that 1,599 price, which is really cool. And then, of course, you've got the Vox 3 months of 300 gigs, so you're getting 900 gigs of data also included in the device.
Mm.
So we think that's a very good proposition. And then, of course, we'll see more and more of these type of bundled deals coming out as we roll out.
Mm. And pricing of the actual services, you're going to be billing Netflix in rands, which I know if you contract with Netflix directly at the moment, you're paying in US dollars.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've got Netflix in rands in this market.
Yes. So you do pay for Netflix in rands in our service. It's also important to note that we have a very strategic relationship with Netflix. We are the only company, in fact, in Africa to have a direct billing integration with Netflix.
Oh, wow.
So we're very proud of that. It's taken us a long time to get that in place. So as you can imagine, this really gives us a lot of flexibility to bill consumers in local currencies, not only in South Africa, but as we move into the continent, we also can offer customers in Kenya Netflix in Kenya shillings, which has never been done before. So we're working very closely with Netflix on their billing processes. We also see ourselves introducing mobile wallet payments and all these different African types of payment processes that are required to have a service actually operational in these countries. It's actually, in fact, the deal with Netflix is a deal that's never been done globally.
Oh.
It's a deal that covers a whole lot of countries, it covers, you know, the whole of Africa continent, really.
Yeah.
So we're very proud of the deal, and we're very, very proud of our relationship with Netflix. So that's Netflix. And then, of course, sorry, just to add on to that, is important the marketing of Netflix. So, you know, there are a lot of Netflix subscribers in South Africa today, and these subscribers have really got to know about Netflix and subscribe to Netflix by word of mouth, by your website and by other websites, but no one has actually gone and put a billboard up and to say, you know, Narcos is available, and that's what we've done. We've put up billboards at the airport, and the response has been phenomenal. So it's just the start of this journey of really marketing Netflix in Africa for the first time.
Okay. Tell us about the Kwezi content on this platform. What is the subscription fee there, and what sort of content can consumers expect from that?
So the Kwezi content is... So this is the Kwezi TV content that we spoke about earlier. So this is your DTH offering brought to you on the streaming device, right? So this is all the channels that you would get on Kwezi.
Oh, wow.
On the Roku device.
How many channels are we talking about?
So region, I think there's about 60-odd channels at the moment. Just over 60 channels.
Okay.
And as you can see here, it crosses a whole different genre of content. So we've got our own Kwezi channels. We've got Kwezi Movies and Kwezi Movies 1, 2, and 3, Kwezi Prime. And these channels are made by our team here in the office. We've also got Kwezi Sports. We've got news channels. We're very proud to have a deal with CNN. So CNN is on our platform, BBC News, France 24, Deutsche Welle, KTN, and we'll continue to grow these services. We've got great third-party deals with the likes of Animal Planet, DTX.
Are all of these in HD?
Some of them are in HD and some of them are not.
Okay.
We obviously, on a streaming device, you can offer HD a lot easier than on a DTH device.
Yeah.
So we would obviously offer HD where we can and then SD as a backup.
Mm.
The nice thing about streaming is you can change your settings as well. So this device allows you to change your settings from 1080 to 720. And then we've got some great music services, fantastic kids content. DreamWorks is an exclusive deal of ours, so we're very proud of that. Kwezi Kids, and then you've got catch up service on here as well. ESPN, you asked that earlier.
Yeah.
So ESPN is a great channel on here. Liverpool TV, NBA exclusive rights with NBA. So there's a whole lot of content, as you can see, and it's quite revolutionary in my opinion. So this content, however, this offering we spoke about here is not available in South Africa. So the Kwezi TV offering won't be available in South Africa now, but this will be available throughout sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, so Netflix is available but not Kwezi at the moment.
Correct.
In South Africa. Correct. Plans to launch that here?
Yes, that's. I mean,
yeah,
we need to.
Makes sense.
It makes sense, doesn't
it? Why not do it right immediately? What needs to? What are there some ducks you need to put in a row first? And if so, what are those?
South Africa is a different market to the rest of Africa. I think we've focused our efforts in Africa for now on the DTH side and the content side. But this is certainly the gateway to getting us into homes in South Africa.
Mm.
And we think it's a very strong proposition at the moment to get into consumers' homes. the Netflix bundle along with the device as it is and the free content. We think a lot of people are going to take the service up for what it is. It's a pretty simple concept, right? It's a simple product to understand. Consumers are going to buy Netflix into the Netflix story and what the product is. So, yeah, the journey is at the infancy. But I do see a future where Questia content is available in South African homes.
Are there regulatory hurdles that you have to overcome?
There's regulatory hurdles. There's content negotiation that needs to take place.
Okay.
Our focus hasn't been on trying to make a Questia-specific content offering in South Africa to date.
Mm-hmm. But it's coming.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about DTH satellite as well. Is that also planned for the South African market?
Not right now. Okay. Not at the moment. But who knows what will happen in the future.
Right. Okay, watch this space. Mm-hmm. So, Ryan, you've got this exclusive partnership with Roku for the African market, the entire Africa, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Tell me a bit about more about this Roku box. What is it exactly? What should consumers expect? What's inside it? What can they do with it?
So Roku's an interesting story. I don't know how much you know about the history of Roku, but Roku was actually born inside Netflix.
Oh.
A team of techies started building a hardware device to stream Netflix. And what they put together was pretty extraordinary, and they created a business called Roku, which subsequently is not part of Netflix, but obviously they have a strong relationship with one another. So the Roku device is actually the most successful streaming device in the world. There are more people that have Roku devices than Google devices and Apple TV devices combined.
Wow.
It's crazy, right? So we went off and said, for us to really be successful, we need to have a revolutionary device. We also wanted to have a product that formed part of an existing ecosystem. So, you've got your usual updates and maintenance and all those things. So we chose Roku. And we chose Roku because for us it was a simple deployment. It was a very efficient and cost-effective device. There's been many success stories similar to ours in the world. I'll take Telstra as an example in Australia. So Telstra launched their streaming service in partnership with Roku.
Okay.
And that's their device of choice, and it's the only device that they offer their services to. Sky Now in the UK as well use Roku exclusively for their video streaming service. So it made sense. And not just the technical side of it, the efficiency side of it, but also when it comes to acquiring content and getting all these content services, as we spoke about earlier, into the channel store, Roku had that all for us.
Mm.
And we are in a very fortunate position that we've got access to those 5,000 streaming services I spoke about. We will grow this content offering together with Roku, and we are in a very strong position to continue grow the product at a rapid pace. The device comes with a HDMI cable. It comes with a power supply. It's certified by CASA. It's got the NRCS LOA. It has a USB port on it. So pretty interesting that you can take your own content, put it on here. So it does offer consumers the opportunity to watch their own movies, videos, photos, whatever it might be, on the same streaming device. Wi-Fi enabled. Roku became very famous for their product because of their powerful Wi-Fi chip inside this box.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of homes in Africa, concrete walls, and this works through these walls. So it's got a strong Wi-Fi capability.
Ethernet as well?
Ethernet enabled, yep.
What is the maximum resolution for playback? 1080p or does it support 4K?
This is not a 4K box.
Okay.
So this is generation one.
Mm-hmm.
We will launch 4K boxes in the future and other devices in the future, but this is not a 4K enabled device now.
Okay. Does Roku make 4K devices?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I mentioned the number. Mm. They have 20 million homes globally.
Wow.
So more consumers stream using Roku than in any other device in the US, as an example. So you know, we're using the world's best product into Africa. And the brand is very well known.
It is, in
the US. In the UK, you know, it's a very well-known brand. And we think it's going to help us grow the product, get the product out there, get consumers' trust. Consumers are quite confused when it comes to making these decisions. There's a lot of unknown brands out there. So the partnership with Roku does give us a lot of it will instill a lot of confidence into our consumers.
Okay. And the customization you've done on this box, obviously around the content that you've put on it, the remote has different buttons, I guess, to the US version, and that there's a Quest button, there's a Netflix, I presume there's a Netflix button in the US as well, but you've done a bit of work on the remote, on the content interface. Any other changes that you've made to this box that's perhaps different to what you'd buy in the US?
No, it's pretty much the same inside. What's under the bonnet is the same. It's good. It's tried. It's tested. It's industrialized. So they haven't changed that. Obviously, we've changed the user interface. We've made it look Quest Play, which we think looks pretty cool. The remote control, as you pointed out, has got our unique buttons on it. Quest being the one shortcut button into the Quest service. But other than that, it's Roku, and we didn't want to change it too much because. You know, the Roku experience has worked wonders for them. It's simple. You can put this remote control into your young child's hand, and they'll be able to easily navigate it. I've seen it in my own home. So we think it's a good solution for Africa.
The operating system that it's running, is it proprietary to Roku, or is it Android, or what's it running?
It's Roku OS.
Roku
OS. Proprietary
OS. OS. Okay.
That they've developed in house. So you've basically got iOS or Android or kind of Roku OS, and then of course you've got Amazon as well.
Okay.
So those are the kind of TV services at the moment.
And can you integrate the box with your smartphone the way like a Chromecast device would work?
You can cast, yeah. You can cast.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have your app on the phone and the app on the device. So take YouTube as an example. You can start playing a video on your phone, and you can cast it onto your TV. We do that often at home.
Okay.
So yeah, it works. It really
iOS
works.
And Android. And the apps are available now. Immediately you can download them and start to use them?
Absolutely. The 100 services are available today.
Yeah.
You can go get a box today and install it and start watching.
And so the content we see on this TV here, this demo TV here, is this, you will also get that content in the apps?
Yes, you'll see everything here except for the Quest content.
Right, which is coming.
Which is coming soon. Watch the space.
Okay. I want to talk a bit about sports. I see you have a partnership with ESPN. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a very dominant player in the South African market in the sports space in the form of SuperSport. I know this is the subject of a Competition Commission complaint by one of the other pay TV operators, StarSat, over the licensing of that sort of premium content. What is your view of the sports market in South Africa? Are you keen to get access to premium sports rights for this platform at some point? Are you already engaged in that? And do you believe that regulatory intervention is going to be necessary? We know ICASA is looking at potentially regulating this market. What is your broad view of the sports rights market in South Africa, and what role would you like to play in it, and what should be happening from a regulatory perspective?
So South Africans love sport.
Yeah,
we've grown up with sport. South Africans love it's in our blood, so we do definitely see the need and the opportunity to try and get sports onto our devices into South Africa. We do have a relationship with ESPN. We do broadcast the ESPN channel in Africa. We know that there's a big fan base of South African ESPN fans in South Africa. We have a relationship with NBA, so we are the exclusive partner to NBA across Africa. And as this journey continues to go along there, and when the opportunity arises, we will definitely look at sports for South Africa. There's a lot of sports rights and, you know, rugby tournaments and high school rugby and those types of things that we think that this is a good fit for them. And, you know, the bigger premium brands, we will definitely look to bring them onto our platform. We've got the relationships with these sports rights holders already. So they trust us, and we've done wonders for them in Africa.
Mm.
Our Kwese Free Sports channel, in fact, which broadcasts in Africa, sees more than, I think it's 70 million viewers on the channel. We've got Premiership League free-to-air rights on that channel in Africa, which has been a really great relationship for us, and we will continue to try and grow that relationship. Okay. Whether regulatory intervention is needed,
mm-hmm.
is something to be seen. We've seen in the UK how the Premiership League has been made available on other platforms,
yes.
Which has been good for consumers. It's really rattled the market a little bit. So I do think that the way that content is sold in the future will change dramatically.
Okay.
And video streaming does allow for these changes to come about.
So you'd like to see some sort of regulatory intervention to make those sports available on more platforms, not just one platform?
I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
I think it will happen.
Yes.
We've seen it happen elsewhere.
Okay. But can we expect the company to be bidding for some of the big sporting codes like rugby, cricket, soccer, local soccer in the future? I know these are multi-billion rand tenders that go out. Is it a space that a streaming company can play in at this stage? Is it something that might come much further down the line?
So we're not just a streaming company. Remember,
in South Africa for the moment, yes.
Yeah.
But you're broader than that. Sure.
So we're much broader than that. We are a media company.
Yeah.
So our as I said, we are looking to expand in South Africa. Sports is a very important part of that. We are talking to sports owners at the moment, and when the opportunity comes about, we will definitely look at trying to do deals.
Mm.
We've got great relationship with ESPN. That opens up a whole opportunity for us to look at other sports as well, but as you say, the sport, the rugby, the traditional South African loved, watched and sports, we would love to see them in our platform, and I think it's just a matter of time until those opportunities come our way.
Okay. Just lastly, Ryan, you're targeting streaming first. We've got DTH satellite coming later. What's the estimated size of the market you're hoping to address here in South Africa? I mean, this is aimed mainly at fiber to the home users at the moment, I would imagine.
I would say it's connected homes,
mm-hmm.
be it LTE, fiber, ADSL. The requirements on a network are pretty low, actually.
Okay.
You could stream very easily with 3 to 4 megs with some of the services. So I wouldn't say it's purely a fiber opportunity. We see the market where there are probably about more than 2 million connected homes in South Africa, and you know, of course, as any business would want to be, we want to be in as many of those homes as possible.
Mm.
How we get there and when we get there is a different story altogether. So we do see a big opportunity in South Africa, and of course with our partnership and our sister company Liquid, we do have a very interesting base of customers already, fiber to the home customers across East Africa, across Southern Africa, in Zimbabwe and Zambia, in Tanzania, Rwanda and Uganda, and so on. So, that's
all right.
That's it.
Okay. Ryan Solovey is CEO of Kwese Play. Thank you so much for joining us on the Tech Central podcast today.
Thanks, Duncan.